Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Mark and Jamal's romantic weekend will depart in 4 minutes from Platform 6. Your ride comes with a rolling countryside sunset view and a table seat ideal for playing footsie beneath. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your good buddy, Joe O'Brien, and I want to thank you for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. Because you are here, because you're listening, you know that we're committed to making high-quality entertainment. We want you to feel like you're here at the table laughing with us, crying with us, celebrating with us, because you are. Becoming an official member of The Niche by joining our subscription service is by far the best way that you can support all of the creators here at the GCN. And not only that, you'll also unlock hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of exclusive podcasts, videos, campaigns, side quests, and behind-the-scenes hijinks that you just can't get on the public feed. And it's all ad-free. If you're ready for even more laughs, for more danger, and more GCN, head to jointhenaish.com and subscribe. That's jointhenaish.com.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
It is a time of galactic celebration, because it's Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you, all of you out there, you know, on this May Day. Anyway, in honor of this joyous, joyous holiday, we've recovered a long-lost transmission from the hidden vaults of the Glass Cannon Network. So, back on May the 4th, 2023, this is Matthew Capodicasa, by the way, along with Troy, Joe, Skid, and Rob Kirkovich, gathered together to play a three-part session of Star Wars Age of Rebellion as part of an experimental show called Glass Cannon Labs. This daring tabletop saga followed a crew of misfits attempting to shape their destiny during a time of rebellion. And today, in honor of the holiday, we return you to a replay of part one, a session which has never before aired on the Glass Cannon podcast feed. So if you enjoy this, look out for part two, which will release here on the GCB feed on May 6th, and part three, which will release on May 9th. You can think of this as a story, once scattered to the void, now reborn for a new era. The signal is strong, the dice are rolling, and the adventure begins again. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Glass Cannon Labs. But more importantly, a very happy May the 4th to you all.
Yes, also happy May the 4th to you, Matthew.
As some of you know, May the 4th is a very, very important day in my life for the reason that it's my dad's birthday. So happy birthday, Dad.
Oh, hey, happy birthday.
Yeah. May he live long and prosper.
Mr. Capital Goo.
Yes, I'm sure he appreciates that.
That's how it sounded when the family came to Ellis Island.
It's the more pronounceable.
Sorry, sir. We can't pronounce that without a more refined tongue.
Without actual syllables.
Is there a tradition on your father's birthday? Like you gift him some fresh ricotta on his pillow in the morning?
I make it myself.
Just a smear
I get up
of it.
At 3 in the morning.
I want to wake up to.
Yeah, they smell the enzymes.
Really take a second to figure out what was going on.
Papa, is a schmear or a goat?
I like that in your mind, I speak to my father with that accent.
Like a child in a...
Papa!
In a bilingual household.
Mario RPG right now.
Papa!
Yes. Anyway, yes, today is Star Wars Day. So...
it's Star Wars Day!
So I brought my Star Wars spatula, and we are here to play Star Wars Age of Rebellion from Fantasy Flight Game. But first, I thought we'd introduce ourselves, and I thought we would go in order of how devoted I perceive your Star Wars fandom to be.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, from least to greatest.
All right.
Ooh. So first off, and we have a man who may be too cool to admit any fandom, except for his obsession with mainstream country music, Mr. Troy LaValle.
Wow. I thought you were going to go after Joe. I'm surprised. I'm surprised you went after me.
Well, I thought about it. I did debate it. I was like, who? I mean, like, this, I'm not saying you're not a Star Wars fan. Obviously, your level, we're like in this nerdy room, your level is decently high.
You got a good baseline.
Do you know I'm about 50 feet away from no less than 400 figures in their original boxes and vehicles and everything. It's all there.
I thought you were going to say you're less than 50 feet away from an Imperial Star Destroyer engine, because that is literally all we hear in the street.
That as well. There's no noise coming from my room. So it's
really?
Be something else. Yeah. But yeah, no, there was a time when I was, it got out of control. I mean, I could play Star Wars Trivial Pursuit alone. It was the only way I could play it. but then again, this is a big crew of nerds here. Everybody knows Star Wars. Everyone should know, you know, everything about.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. The threshold to entry is just very high.
Very high. I understand.
And it's not an insult. I'm just saying, like, there are some nerds on this call.
Do you have three different Ponda Babas in your house right now?
If only you had played with them, then your level of fandom would be high.
I take them in the box and say, hello.
Hello. Hello. Put down your force shield.
I can't hear you through this plastic.
Well, then that brings us to our next player. I did debate this, but because our next player's favorite Star Wars film is Return of the Jedi. But to me, that suggested that he's still an 11-year-old boy inside. So Mr. Joe O'Brien.
There it is. Yes, as is evidenced by the character that I chose to play. This is purely my 11-year-old fantasy of the Star Wars universe. Yeah, it's... I wasn't I don't know, like, I am so low rung on this call, the lowest by far, there is no question. I'm curious to see where it goes after this. Really, I want to see between Skid and Rob. I want to see the showdown go down. But basically, I love Star Wars. That's the thing with fandom, right? Is like, you can love something, you can love it dearly, and there's legions of people that'll be like, you don't love it enough. Yeah. Not like I do. And I've never really understood that concept. I just don't remember anything. So like, I remember, you know, I watched the movies like hundreds of times, particularly in high school. I would just watch them over and over and over and over and over, back to back to back to back to back. And, you know, I could quote, you know, any lines from any of the main three movies. But yet, like, I remember, Troy, you just mentioned Star Wars Trivial Pursuit. And I remember, like, sitting down to a game of it and, like, I couldn't get anything right. I was just like, man, this is like deep shit, man. And I thought I was paying attention, but I was not reading, you know, books of the expanded universe. And I was not like delving into the schematics of the Death Star, like actual schematics. So yeah, I didn't really go that far, but I love the movies. Love them.
There's no shade. I think there's no shade. This is my perception. It may not be reality.
Yeah.
And so next, this is a tough one. So I'm going to punt because we have two epic nerds and two devoted fans, and I'm going to let them figure it out amongst themselves who may be the bigger bigger fan, though it's not a competition.
It's not a competition. We're here to support and love each other.
Exactly.
Right.
It's Skidmar and fan.
So you lose by default. Rob surrendered.
Yeah.
All heard it.
I didn't want to
Rob
fight.
Kirk Richard, no.
he denied it even was a competition, so the battle
I feel like
won.
you lose points for this fucking Star Trek trolling you're doing right now.
First of all, I can't tell you how embarrassed I am. I got the date wrong. I actually, having hung out with Rob, I think he is actually the bigger Star Wars fan than I am. So
he definitely beats me. I can say that much.
Yeah.
him beating you, Matthew, is just staggering to me. The amount of like outer rim planets, you know, the climate of is just staggering to me. Like it's crazy. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, it became clear to me when we were like, we sidebarred about Rob's character that he's going to play, no spoilers. But I don't have an exhaustive knowledge of the kind of the Clone Wars, the animated series. If I love them, I just don't know them as well as I know the other stuff. So, but I feel like Rob, your knowledge is fairly comprehensive.
There were some things that I recognized from what you were saying, what the planet, the setting is and stuff like that. That sort of helped me create a character based off of my inability to do anything else in my life other than watch Star Wars material and read it and submerge myself. Actually, the funny thing is I've never won a game of Star Wars Trivial Pursuit. And there was actually a moment in college like the angriest I think I've ever been in my life. Getting to the final question, and the question was, in the Star Wars, this is what it was. In the special edition of Return of the Jedi, what is the one planet you see during the celebration at the end? Oh, no. What is the planet that you see during the celebration at the end where confetti is falling?
Is it Naboo?
It's Coruscant.
It's Coruscant.
Fucking Coruscant. Okay. Yes. Right. So I just immediately was like, it's Coruscant. Right. And the card comes out and it was like fucking Seinfeld with the moops.
I'm sorry. It's the moops.
Yeah. This says Mos Eisley. And I was like, well, that's.
Not a planet.
That's not true. Yeah. Well, yeah. It's whatever. It was like, what city? Yeah. So Mos Eisley.
The city. Okay.
And it was like, that's not true. And it was like, well, that's what the card says. And then I was like, fuck it. Hold on. And like, I ran.
It was nobody knew.
It's like 1998. So of course I had the VHS and I put it in and it's like, it's right there. Look, it's right fucking there. And they're like,
sorry,
it's on the card.
It's the yeah. Moves.
Mos Eisley, like clear blue sky, nothing floating in the air, anything. And I went to bed. I went to bed at like 9 p.m. I like left. I left the living room where we were all hanging out. I was like, goodbye. And then I didn't speak to anyone for like a day. I was so pissed.
I have a good friend who famously lost a slap bet because it was the age of slap bets in college because he could not accurately remember the odds of successfully navigating an asteroid field. And he is ashamed of it to this day.
Oh, what? It's 47-1.
I don't know the actual number.
3,720-1.
Oh, you are such a nerd. I love it.
Now I live in fear that I'll be slapped by him, especially if he ever wants to call me on it. So I've memorized it.
Hold on. By the way, because this is live, we got to do this. Troy, I apologize. I threw you and your HVAC under the bus, and it's not you. It's Skid. Skid is the guilty party. And I think
my fridge was on.
Yeah. And when you were talking, Skid, you also sounded a little hot. So maybe just try.
I turned it down.
Okay, great.
I don't know.
I don't want you to spike anymore when you're talking. So it's, you sound better now.
I don't accept your apology.
I figured.
It's the warp drive in the engineering room of the Enterprise.
Boom, 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 boom. I kind of turned on the volume, Captain.
So I went back through my email and checked to see when it was we played this last, and it was fully 3 years ago.
I know. I can't believe it.
May of 2020 was our last session.
Yeah. I mean, how many people do that? How many people are like, let's kick off a game. They get together. They put a lot of love and energy into it for like, you know, whatever, a week, 2 weeks. They play three sessions, whatever we played. Don't do it for 3 years and then immediately come back with all the same characters. It's a very strange situation. Like, I don't remember anything.
I have to tell you guys as an outsider, I wanted to do my research. So I listened to some, not all. You know, I love you guys. I couldn't spend like 6 hours with you this week. But I started listening to the first episode. It was infectious. First of all, Troy's voice. I can't wait. I can't wait to interact with this person. Every time I laugh, I was like running and laughing and ran into a tree. But the you dorks, when Matthew starts the game and gives you the title crawl, your guys' collective minds are like, oh my God, like your minds blew open. Like you could, and all he didn't play the music. All it was he was just like, he was bringing up the imagery for you. And you guys were all, you were like virtually high-fiving and like screaming. I mean, it was the pandemic and the quarantine. So everyone's probably a little, you know, like on edge anyway.
Not right. Yeah.
Like any small shred of joy was probably like amped to a 10.
I will say like around that time, the beginning of the pandemic, I got super excited when I saw a mouse in my apartment because I hadn't seen another living person in like 3 weeks or something. So that's about the level of neurotic dysfunction that was wonderful. Taking place around then. But
I remember us liking the game quite a bit, though. Like, I also remember us enjoying ourselves playing. Yeah. And it's funny, it was such an early game in our New Dame Who Dis experience. Like, I was relearning the rules because I've forgotten everything. I was like, oh wow, I can see like how this the weird overlaps. There's a lot of Traveler in here. There's a lot like it's very funny to me.
Yeah, so, I remember hearing, when I was re-listening to the first step, I heard a lot of snarky comments, mostly from Troy, about how weird it was going to be when this replaced Androids and Aliens. Oh, yeah. This is like, as we were playing, we were like, the mechanics of this are so fun. It was a really good time.
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple years ago, we've never talked about this, but I'll mention it now. There was a couple years ago when I was this close to closing a deal for us to play Force and Destiny with Patton Oswalt and his wife on the Glass Cannon Network. And we were going to have it front page of Twitch and everything. And it was just like, there was this one week when he didn't have a million jobs booked when it was going to happen. And then he just like was booking everything left and right just after the pandemic. And so I bought Force and Destiny. I was like reading it cover to cover. I was like, I forgot how cool this system is. And then that deal fell through. And anyways, I'm just excited to actually dive back in, because I remember the same thing, Matthew. I remember like really, really liking the system.
Yeah, it's fun. And also, like, all of us is just so bought in on the lore, right? Because we all know Star Wars and we're all in. So it's just kind of, and in the interim period, Andor has come out, but this celebrates one of my favorite untapped Star Wars periods, which is between the destruction of the Death Star but before Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah,
so you get that
Rise of Empire era.
It's like 4 years. It's canonically, right? So it's like there's a lot of stuff that can happen in there.
The Marvel comics, I think, like kicked off like the new run of them, however many years ago now.
Yes,
like right post New Hope, and they were like really good. Like all the Darth Vader stuff is really good.
Yeah,
you could say it's a dark time for the Rebellion.
It is.
I didn't really understand. That this was like an option or a thing until we played this game, the Age of Rebellion. Like when I thought of the Star Wars game, I guess I was thinking of Force and Destiny, right? Like that's sort of like my image of what Star Wars role-playing would be. And then Matthew, when you laid it out in front of us, you were like, we could do Edge of the Empire and it's all the scoundrels in the Outer Rim and stuff. I'm like, oh, that's neat. Yeah, that is totally different. And you're like, or Age of Rebellion, which is like, you're just playing rebels like on the ground. I was like, oh, this is really interesting. I would love to delve into a non-force-based story about, rebels. And then fast forward, 3 years later to Andor, maybe just being like, now this is a TV show.
Oh, my God.
And it just goes to show you, like, how that setting is so perfect for stories. It's so perfect for stories.
Yes. So good. Well, why don't we dive in? Because we've only got 2 hours, and we've got a lot of Star Wars to talk about. Last time we played the beginner box adventure, which was called Takeover at Whisper Base. And there it came with an optional sequel, because it's Star Wars. Of course, there's a sequel. And it's called Operation Shadowpoint. It's written and developed by Jordan Goldfarb and Daniel Lovat Clark. And that is what we're playing today. So awesome. Since it's been a minute and Rob wasn't even there, I thought we might take a minute to recap what happened. So title crawl. Cue the trumpet.
Oh, my God. There's a title crawl.
So the text comes down. You all played members of a rebel strike team. They had been secreted onto the jungle planet of Onderon. Am I pronouncing that right, Rob? Is it Onderon?
Oh, yeah. Onderon. You got it.
Okay. In the Jaeperiel system, an Alliance intelligence had learned of a secret Imperial outpost deep, deep in the jungle named Whisper Base. Now, Onderon is actually home to a very large Imperial garrison that's under the command of one Admiral Corlan. But according to the intelligence report, Corlan didn't even know about Whisper Base because the region's Moff Dardano had built it as a listening outpost to spy on the Admiral, who is his rival. So the Alliance realized this is actually an incredible opportunity because this is actually an Imperial base that the majority of the Imperial military doesn't even know about. So they sent you all to capture it. So you infiltrated the planet. How? I don't know. It wasn't in the scope of the adventure. But somehow you managed to land without Imperial clearance and you don't have a ship. So I imagine you were kind of dropped in like an escape pod, like deep into the jungle. And then you trekked your way to the base and quickly infiltrated it. You encountered and removed the restraining bolt from a former battle droid who had been reprogrammed to be a janitor, BX2R. And with his help, you were able to fight your way through the base and gain access to the control room. You took control of the base, but not before the base's commander, Lieutenant Sarev, was able to escape in an AT-ST. But you guys gave chase both on speeder bikes and a slightly rusted AT-ST of your own.
Yes!
Able to kill Lieutenant Sarev.
I remember that there was a vine involved. I remember a vine.
Oh, yeah.
It was like grabbing a vine and swinging around.
Clotheslined him.
And you killed, you destroyed the ATST, and then you had all these like scout troopers on speeder bikes you had to mop up. And I feel like that's what we spent the majority of our time doing.
Yeah, it was just amazing. Like, wow. My memory of it is just me. Because remember, you also have to put yourself in our mindset. This is still in the very, very early days of us for the first time ever playing a non-D20 game. You know what I mean? Like, we had all just always played Pathfinder, and this is like the third new game we played. And my memory of specifically of that encounter is me just every time it came to my turn being like, can I just do this wacky thing? Not like silly thing, but like incredibly heroic, bizarre thing. And Matthew just being like, yup. And I was like, this is so much fun. Like, he just said yes to everything, and we had such a good time. Well, it was awesome.
I feel like the dice pool encourages that, right? Yeah. Like, you're like, yeah, sure. Like, great, let's see what the dice pool says and we'll interpret the results. It's less cut and dry than just a successor.
Yeah, it's really, it really fuels narrative, which I think is great, especially for a game based on a franchise that tells these, you know, amazing stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, before we get into the story and before we figure out what Rob will be doing here, we need to do a little housekeeping. So first is XP. You all earned XP during the adventure, and but for completing the mission, you actually earned 10 more XP. I let you guys know about this ahead of time. So I thought maybe we'd take a minute to re-meet, or meet, if you didn't listen to the new game, who dis, the characters that we're holding over, and find out if there was anything interesting about the way you spent the XP. So yeah, let's go around. Troy, you sent me your sheet. Looked yes. interesting. Who are you playing?
Yeah, I had to rebuild this sheet from scratch, and so it's probably pretty close to what it was because I went back and listened to episode one, and I was plugging in numbers. But it may have a few changes. I think it's pretty damn close though. But I play Grex Jemchuk.
Grex
Jemchuk. He's a Mon Calamari spy. With the infiltrator specialization, if you remember.
And he's blue.
And he's blue. He's a rare blue lobster. his story was that his dad was like an imperial officer, and the mom didn't really know the depths of what the dad was involved with, and when she found out, she spirited away Grex elsewhere, and the Empire tracked her down and basically executed her and made the father execute her. And so Grex got away, and I think he either grew up on Yavin 4 or he lives on Yavin 4. I can't remember. But he has obviously a great hatred of the Empire. And my concept, at least during this time of reacquainting myself with him, is that he doesn't want to just kill them. Like, he wants to destroy everything about them. And so it's sabotage. It's not just killing someone. It's killing all of them.
Great. Did you spend your new XP in any interesting way? You got a new talent, maybe?
I did. I can't remember what I spent it on because I was going back through. But basically, the way the talent trees work, you can kind of go two ways, and eventually they meet back up, but you have to commit at a certain point, at least for the infiltrator. And so I went away where I got another grit, which ups my strain threshold by one. So now I have a +2 strain threshold. And then I took something called Soft Spot, which cool. I don't think I had before, which basically... when you hit someone, you can spend a destiny point to add damage equal to cunning in one hit. And I have a 3 cunning, so that's pretty good cool. extra damage. And then I think I put a point in computers, because he was going to try and hack the droid and he couldn't figure it out. So I thought maybe he's trying to figure that out a little bit better. And, cool. Yeah, I think that's it.
Great. Thank you. Skid, you're my droid, 2R, or Tour, as they say in the book, bonded with your character. Who are you playing?
I am playing, my character is a droid. He was earlier in his life, another phase of his life, he was a security, like bodyguard droid for the Pike Syndicate, which is, controls like a spice kind of trade in the galaxy. But when the Empire took over his planet, he was captured and repurposed, memory wiped, to serve as a sort of intelligent coffee maker. So he was just like, someone you could give your order is just like, I'd like a latte with like a little bit of foam, whatever. And it's just like, okay. And it would come out. So it's like, he had all this piping like installed in his body, his legs and arms taken away. And so he was living in this subservient hell for like, you know, 20 years until he was, I think a Shadrafan like mechanic, like finally like liberated him and like restored him. And so he now has this loathing for two things, the Empire and coffee. And he has this like stain, like he has this like coffee stain, like when he pulled the piping out, like all this like espresso like spilled out like onto his front piece, and he keeps it there. He won't paint it over. He wants to keep it there to remember forever what the Empire did to him.
Yes. And as I recall, he was kind of also like a murder machine when we got into battle. It was like he was mowing down stormtroopers. So did you take any new talents or did you?
No, I actually, when we got our mid session boost, XP boost, I invested it in sniper shot and true aim, which helped me get a little more accuracy with my heavy or my light repeating blaster shots. Are we gonna get XP again, like mid session, the same way?
We'll probably get some XP at the end of this session. We're probably gonna go. We're doing another session of this, right? So we'll start.
I fucking hope so.
Yeah,
we got nothing going on. There's a writer's strike, baby.
Yeah, what else are we gonna do?
What else are we gonna do? You'll probably earn XP for this session.
Okay, then I'm going to save my 10 XP.
Great. Yeah. Cool.
And by the way, his name, he doesn't know his original designation when he was memory wiped, but as a joke, one of the Imperials wrote on his chassis the designation PRCL8.
Great. Do we? I can't remember at all. What do we call you? Do we call
CL8?
Just CL8.
You can call me CL8.
Oh shit!
Oh my goodness! No wonder you're having mic issues.
Yeah, I was working like an hour, like trying to get this.
I knew it would. Quickly tried to zip up the Enterprise jacket, to the vocoder going.
Oh, I'm so happy! This brings me back to the Warhammer days.
Yeah, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, and Joe, who are you playing?
I am playing Eli Cavendish, a young recruit of the Rebellion. And I think, I don't know how much I said about his background in the first show. Unfortunately, I did not re-listen to much. But I don't even know what his voice sounds like, so I'm just going to be starting from scratch. But the basic idea is, I think I actually went in a little bit more in-depth in my head this time than I did last time, which is, he is... sort of wealthy, comes from a sort of wealthy family, and not like aristocratic, but wealthy. Actually, you know what? I'm going to say that his father is an Imperial general.
Oh. Ooh.
So his father is an Imperial general.
That's Amon Calamari?
But
General Cavendish?
General Cavendish? He's much younger, but his father is a retired general of the Imperial Navy. And he was like, you know, many kids down, I would say, in birth order. And essentially what he did was he got like educated and understood a little bit more about what, you know, the kind of atrocities that the Imperials were enacting on these outer worlds or whatever. And he basically says he's going to... He runs away from home to join the Rebellion, essentially.
Pamphlets.
So it's not that he has a horrible relationship with his father or anything. And his father also might disagree with some of their principles, but he never would like enact it. So he is leaving to go join the Rebellion to do this. And when he does, he wants to become a hero. Like that is his quest is glory, because he wants to do something great like his father did, but for what he sees as the good guys. Right. However, he got in and he took all the tests, and they immediately routed him into supply management, supply chain management. So he is the assistant to the assistant to the quartermaster. And it's like, I did not see my heroic joining of the Rebellion to play out like this. So he is by the game, he is a diplomat quartermaster who is skilled. His primary characteristics that stand out are honestly his willpower, which really comes from his kind of military upbringing, and his presence. He's a likable and he's good with communication. He uses that and his basic sort of level of intelligence to deal with quartermaster stuff. But now that he's finally on his first mission, he's trying to like, he actually has to get trained in the nitty gritty of combat. So what I did, how much experience did you say we had? We had 20 to spend, was that
30? Yeah, well, you got 10 and presumably used it halfway through. And then you got 10 more for completing the mission just now.
And how much does a talent cost?
I believe it depends on the talent.
On the tree, yeah. It'll tell you on the tree.
If it's you want to get 5, 10, or 15.
Oh, so you have to take it from your tree.
In order. Yes.
In order.
Or you could spend 10 to get a skill that you didn't have at all. Like a rank in a, I guess it would be your career skill.
What does ranked mean under a talent? Rank yes or no?
If
you have talent? Any ranks in it?
No. Like it'll say like in the core rule book, all the talents are listed and it says the talent and then ranked. No, ranked. Yes.
Oh, like ranked, if they compound, because no. There'll be several. Sometimes a talent tree will have the same talent a couple times. And so that'll like add up. It'll for like every rank in that you have will do something that like increases incrementally depending on how many.
And if you want what I wanted to do, and you can tell me if I just can't do this. Like my idea was, I'm trying to get away from this quartermaster thing ultimately, but I can just go back into it. That's fine. But I wanted to just give him basic combat training, which is a talent that just allows you, all it does is allow you to get brawl and ranged light as career skills, which I don't have. So I was going to do that. But if I can't do that, then I will look at the talent tree for my career and just get back to you.
Well, you could also do what Rob just suggested, just use the 10 to get that skill.
Yeah, if it's not a career skill for you, you can go from 0 to 5 by spending 10. If it's a career skill, you can go from 0 to 5 by spending 5.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, no, I understand. But I was kind of thinking that, like, in the long run, it would cost me less to keep putting in those if I make them career skills. But
if you just cheat.
I guess it'd
be a lot easier if you just cheat it.
Yeah. Did you buy a new specialization too?
That's what I'm trying to read about right
now. Yeah, you can also do a new specialization, but it's expensive.
It's at least 20, I think, to get a specialization.
Okay,
and it's a bummer they don't support this game anymore.
Some other company took it over. Asmodee gave it to this other company called Edge Studios, are reprinting certain books, but have not come out with a new. So you can still go to the store and see, like, you know, they're on the rack still, which is great.
So then, you know what I'm going to do is I'll lean into the quartermaster thing and I will take the next talent in my tree here, which is smooth talker. So that comes off of know somebody, which I started with. Know somebody allows us to get access to rarer items once per session, which is kind of cool. Rarer equipment. Smooth talker. I immediately can choose a skill that I get, like, you know, bonus die result successes in, and it's charm, coercion, deception, or negotiation. And I'm going to do charm, I think. Yeah, I'm going to do charm, the charming young lad. So I have a rank in that. So I will, I'll put my smooth talker in charm.
Okay, great.
And Matthew, I think you said this, but remind me, this is taking place after the first Death Star exploded, right?
It's yes.
We're
in the between the first two, between episodes 4 and 5.
Wonderful.
Great. Oh, and Skid, you're a droid, but what's your career and specialization?
I am a soldier, and my specialization is sharpshooter.
Sharpshooter, right?
Sniper.
How terrifying is like a sharpshooter, like a sniper droid?
Any kind of droid that kills is terrifying.
One of the reasons I was excited to get back into that, I love this character concept so much. It started out as a joke and I fucking love it now. And just the idea, that's a really good sort of reason to want to destroy the Empire, I think. And
they made you a slave.
Yeah, it also saved the Empire.
In the most humiliating, like sort of powerless way. Yeah, so.
It's like, for no real reason, right? You're a droid. They could have just reprogrammed you to be another.
Yeah, or just bought like a Keurig or something. But they didn't. Like, they just the cruelty, the like everyday cruelty of the Empire, which is one of the things I loved about Andor, was shining the spotlight on that. That kind of thing, like, that gets me so excited. So, yeah.
Okay. Great. So the next piece of housekeeping we have to do is the destiny pool. So we have to build the pool. So each of you is going to take your force die, which is the white
D12. Oh, I'm so excited. I use these dice.
I know. These special dust. Star Wars dice.
I found mine in my attic. Went up there, found them in a box. I was so excited.
I think Norse Foundry actually makes some of these.
Do they?
I think they really? So. Yeah. Did you send us some to prove it?
I don't believe you, Eric.
I don't
Eric.
Believe it. All right, so everyone give me one roll on the force die and tell me what you get.
All right. Oh. Don't ruin this for everyone, O'Brien.
It's
come
okay.
On.
It doesn't.
I don't know what's
there's
good.
There's no way to ruin it.
I got
well,
a light
that's
side.
The first thing
I got
I
one.
Think. How, one can light I, side. How is this going to ruin everything?
I got well, a white circle. Looks,
yeah,
white
of course
circle.
You did.
So that's two light. What did you get, Skid?
I got a light. Light side, too.
Three light, Joe.
One dark.
All right, that's fine.
It's fine. So just a quick reminder how these work. We didn't really use them all that much in the new game, who this, but. So any one of us, including me as the GM, can spend a destiny point at any time. If we were in person, we'd have these tokens that we would just flip over from light to dark. Because when you use them, you take, like, you guys use the light. There they are. You guys use the light side. I use the dark side. So if you want to use one, you just select one of the ones that's light. You flip it over to dark, but then it's an economy, right? Now I have destiny points at my disposal. And it's good.
There's a similar mechanic in the Star Trek game too.
Yes, yeah, there was a some mechanic.
Yeah.
The good thing is, like, we're encouraged to use them. And I think some talents actually have you use destiny points too, and some talents, some abilities. So the more you use them, the more I can use them, the more you can use them. It feeds one another.
Yeah.
So they can be used in combat. I'll walk through quick ways you can use them. So you can upgrade an ability die, which is your green D8, to a proficiency die, which is your yellow D12, which is better. You can make an opponent's skill check more challenging. So you can upgrade the difficulty die, which is the purple D8, to a challenge die, which is the red D12. Again, your special talents, your special abilities and talents might ask you to use them. And then there's also the kind of non-combat, non-skill check, they call it luck and or deus ex machina. So this could be, I think of it's kind of like the Blades in the Dark flashback or a loadout option. So the example they give in the book is, let's say you land on a planet that turns out to have no breathable oxygen. You could say, like, oh, good thing we remembered to pack those rebreathers, and spend a destiny point and now you're equipped. Or like, oh, we're injured. Maybe when we search the room, we find a spare, you know, stim pack or something, and you flip a destiny point. So I encourage you to use them. And then I have the ultimate arbitration power, but what goes, but that we can always, you know, dial back.
I mean, it could be like in the best Star Wars movie, Joe's right, Return of the Jedi, when Luke finds the, like, when he's in the Rancor pit and it's like force point or destiny point to have a skull for him to throw at the
to have like a giant femur to lodge in its mouth.
Exactly.
I do love that about the rule book too, how frequently it references just scenes in the film when it's explaining, like, how character creation works and, like, what Han Solo's career choices would be, you know, like it's his specializations and his development over time. Like, it's cool.
Yes. Okay. So now we're going to do the duty roll. So, because there's, we'll get into why, but right now there's three of you that have duty and one of you has obligation. And one of you is Rob because he wanted to be creative. But yes. So the obligation comes from Edge of the Empire, which is the same game but made for different storytelling.
You can call it creativity. You can also call it, that's the one hard copy book I own. Fair. So that's what I use.
It's okay though, because there's a whole section on merging them and you can do both. So we're using the both and either option. Yeah. So first, let's do duty. So each of you, so because there's three of you, there are 15 duty points each. I made a little chart. This is just the fast version. 1 through 15, that's you, Skid. 16 through 31, that's Joe. 31 through 45, that's Troy. I'll remember that. You don't have to remember. So that's your total. The total duty score is 45. I'm going to roll a D100. And if I roll above a 45, that means effectively that you haven't collectively achieved enough to positively affect your situation or outlook. If I roll below 45, then positive effects related to you achieving your duty embolden you and your efforts. And if I hit something in your range, then you get additional mechanical benefits. All right, so I'm going to roll the D100 right now. I rolled a 99.
No
mechanical benefits for you. Sorry.
Damn.
Anyway, but Rob is here, and Rob has an obligation. Rob, what's your obligation? It was 15, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I took an extra 5 because all I did, you know, I went off the chart that said ideal starting obligation, and if you had 4 players, it was 10. So I took another 5 to get 1,000 credits, so I could buy some sweet shit.
Great. So because there's only one of you, of course, it's unlikely that I'll roll below a 15, but that would make sense for your story, your character's story, which we'll get to.
I get this. I see what's happening here. The obligation would be the absolute primary drive to any Edge of the Empire character. It's like you're just like trying to survive by like fulfilling your debts, essentially.
Yeah, it's like Han Solo's Jabba the Hutt. It's that kind of thing. Yeah. So in Age of Rebellion, the duty thing gives you a boon if you like something good happens, right?
Yeah. So I think this is true for obligation too.
I think if you roll it and you get it, you take like strain. Like
That makes sense.
Yeah. It's less positive and more like, oh shit.
Oh yeah. They also get stressed out.
Yeah.
They that bounty hunter in Ord Mantell really changed my mind.
Yeah, exactly. More of that. I rolled a 43, which is above your 15. So no mechanical effects for them, for these guys, with the duty, if they get it, they actually can use that to acquire alliance resources as well. That's not really going to come into play here. But yeah. Okay. So, sorry. Now that said, if any of you all have a duty, you chose it when you were building your character. If you ever feel like you're fulfilling your duty in the mission or the particular kind of thing we're doing within the story, let me know. And that could like give you a boon for the rest of the session. So if you had a sabotage duty, I think that might be yours, Troy.
That's mine. Yeah.
So if you sabotage something, you're like, hey, I'm fulfilling my sabotage duty. I'd be like, great. Here's you get this boon. It's small. You get, I think, your wound threshold goes up.
Break everything I see.
Yeah, exactly. Well, now you control the base. So don't down everything. okay. So should we get into it? That's a lot of housekeeping, but actually I think that was pretty by the book. So we'll pick up right where we left off. So you just had destroyed the AT-ST and killed all of the scout troopers escorting Lieutenant Sarev. And the base is yours, but you're out in the jungle. And you have an AT-ST and speeder bikes of your own.
So we're just dropping right there, right where we left off.
We're in it.
How many years passed? 0 years. Zero minutes?
Years.
It's been standing there for 3 years.
Standing here for several years.
So hungry.
Withering away.
The Mon Calamari is just a shriveled, like, just no moisture.
It's like sticks.
Oh, I need some drawn butter.
There it is. Yes!
All right, so should we go back to the base?
We're at the base, right? We're
no, you were you pursued no, we, the lieutenant out of the base. He was on his way to the comm station. You cut that line before the mission to kind of isolate the base. He was trying to get there to send a warning to the Moth. The base had fallen. You stopped him from doing that.
And there's still stormtroopers in the base, right?
No, you've effectively neutralized the base.
Yes, and then let's return to the base.
Okay. Yeah. So you trek back through the jungle. I think PRCLA, you were in the AT-ST, right?
Yeah, I was manning the gunnery station in the AT-ST as Hamza was piloting.
Hamza, Grant's Gran.
The Gran.
Character. Yes.
Oh, yes, it's me.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, you...
Is that character still with you guys? What's going on?
He's still with them, but we'll...
He died of old age.
He died on the way back to his home planet.
So you trek back. You emerge from the jungle and you see the base's blast doors. And as you're dismounting from your speeder bikes or climbing out of the AT-ST, everyone, give me a perception roll.
Perception.
So right, should we take this opportunity to talk about building dice pools?
Yeah. So for example, my perception has 2 greens and a yellow. Is that what I roll?
two greens and a yeah. So what I think that kind of factors in what your so the way you build a dice pool is like what you either you take the character the applicable characteristic or your ranks in the skill whatever's higher, and that gives you a number of ability dice which are the green, and then however many like whatever the lower number is, so that you upgrade that many to a yellow the proficiency dice. So I think what you're looking at probably has that baked in.
Yeah, it does, but I don't understand that. Say that again.
So let's say you have two ranks, or I'll read the example from the book. So let's say you were attempting a computer skill, and that has that's an intellect related skill. This like the example they have here it has computers two, but the intellect is three. Intellect is higher, so you'd get three ability dice. However, because you have two ranks in it, you're able to upgrade two of those ability dice to proficiency dice.
So you start with three greens, and then if you have two ranks in computers, you change two of the green to two yellows.
And you do the vice versa if you have a higher ranks than you have characteristic.
Exactly.
But then the characteristic bumps up the green to the yellow, however many you have in the characteristic. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Sweet.
What is the difficulty?
I would say, that's the next step of the dice pool. So you're going to add the purple difficulty dice. This is going to be an average check. So that's two,
one,
two.
Two. Oh yeah. What is it?
It's
easy,
simple.
Simple, easy, average, hard, daunting.
Daunting and formidable is the nice.
We're adding two purple to our roll.
Add two purple.
What does this mean?
Let's go through the symbols. So the kind of explosion, that's success.
Yeah, that's success. Yep, I remember that.
Explosion again? One more time. Sorry.
Success.
I want to see what it looks like.
A little like pow.
Okay.
The sunburst. The sunburst.
You know, it's a crit in X-Wing.
This is a failure.
Got it.
This little kind of triangle-y thing.
Yep.
Okay, that's sad.
So those offset each other. So you're gonna like so if you have a success and a failure they offset.
Gotcha.
Then this little like explosion with a circle and a bigger explosion that's a triumph, which essentially like think of it as like an upgrade to a crit counts as a success, so it can be offset. And then this the little like heraldry with the dot that is advantage.
Okay.
Advantage is offset by this kind of imperial-ish symbol, which is threat.
Okay, so you can have a success with advantage, a success with disadvantage, a failure with advantage, a failure with disadvantage would be the worst of the worst, right?
And then this won't apply to you now, but if you ever have to roll something with a challenge die, which is how you upgrade a difficulty die, you'll see this symbol, which is like the failure symbol with a circle, that is triumph's partner, despair.
Despair.
Which would be like a critical fail. Yeah. So yes, yeah, so you're going to you're going to build your dice pool, roll, and then count how many like how many success you net and how many advantage you net, and then let me know what.
I have one success and two advantage.
Well,
why even roll?
Let's be nice.
Let's not waste time.
I guess we can all stop rolling.
Hold on! I see something. Everyone, be quiet.
Let me know what you guys get, just for story time.
I got one success.
One success.
I net one failure, but with one advantage.
Okay, so Joe, you don't see anything, but you feel great about it. You're really confident.
He's still riding high off the last combat from 3 years ago. Still riding high.
CL8 and Grex, you notice something shifting in the foliage near the base's outer wall. And with your two advantage, Grex, you know it's not some sort of creature. Like this is a very dangerous jungle. There are lots of creatures out there. It's like a person. Awesome.
I start firing wildly into the brush. Full auto fire.
Well, that was great.
Cutting the tree line down. Mowing the foliage.
We drag Rob's character's corpse out from the canopy.
Yeah, now I'm the force for the rest of the session.
I'm so in it, I didn't even realize what was happening here.
So, yes. What do you... Well, before we get to that, Rex, CLA, you see that. What do you do?
You there, in the brush. You're outnumbered. Come on with your hands up and pants down.
Removing your pants is optional.
Okay.
Rob, what happens?
So you guys say all that, and then you hear this. Maybe. Maybe. Hold on. Hold on. I'm fucking it up.
Joe goes to widescreen.
We're going
to
solo you, Rob. Everyone's watching you.
It's not working. I had it all planned. I practiced it on the dog walk. The dog was confused. The people around.
Oh!
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. So the like, foliage is, like, trembling. And then, like, parts and this 7-foot-tall Wookiee walks out. He's got, like, lighter hair, but you can see he's like, dyed almost, like, war paint into his fur. So he has, like, 2 vertical blue, like, manic panic stripes going over his eyes. And he's carrying a vibro greatsword.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Amazing.
Yes, he is.
And so he roars and stops and then looks down, and there's like a device hanging in, over his chest that has like a speaker thing over it that you guys probably recognize as like a translator. And so he like looks at it after the roar and like pounds it again and then goes like roar again, and then it just goes, hello.
Who wants to die?
And it's long way again. It's like, it's like, this is broken.
Grex, I imagine we have our blasters out. We don't know if this is friend or foe. So Grex will say,
you're a long way from Kashyyyk, Wookiee. What is your business here?
So anytime I talk, it's just, let's assume that I'm, every once in a while I'll pull a roar out, but you guys know. This Wookiee, I can't do it. And if I tried it, I'd shred my vocal cords. So, you know, you guys get the idea.
It's a hard thing to replicate. There we go.
Yeah. he roars again and he's like, I'm here to avenge Saw Gerrera. This is his home planet. I had a life debt to him, but he blew up on Jeddah while I was off world. I'm here to murder every Imperial. I see you've already taken this base. I am very disappointed.
Do you want to roll something to see if you convince them of this?
Sure, you want me? I'll roll anything.
I mean, we can do an opposed check, or we could just have you roll, or we could just hand wave it.
I want to see him roll.
Yeah, let's roll.
I want to see the Wookiee roll. I mean, do you want to do
the Wookiee roll?
I guess you could roll. I mean, you probably would roll just, you know, negotiation or charm, right? Whatever. Or we could also make a case for like cool. You could roll cool. Maybe you could roll cool to see, like, I don't know.
Yes, everything you've listed, I have nothing in, so it really doesn't matter.
How cool do you sound?
I spent a lot of experience points on just brawn.
Brawn.
So
you could also roll just to like make a presence check, I guess we could do.
Okay. That's
why I believe it.
See that. Just straight up presence, right. Okay.
Straight up presence. And I would say, let's say this is an average check. So
two perps.
Two perps. Just a couple of perps.
Yeah, I succeeded. 2 successes and a threat.
Nice.
Okay, well, so
I believe him.
You believe him, but but you're a little afraid of him. Like, you know who Saw Gerrera, like, you know the name Saw Gerrera. You're going to all work for Rebel Alliance. You know the role he played in the formation of you know, of the Onderon Rebels. And yeah, so you're like a little, like, you know this guy is an extremist.
All right. I come, like, I still have my blaster kind of aimed at him, and I step forward.
This is excellent news. You reference the great rebel hero Saw Gerrera. It would be good to have a partner in the destruction of the Empire down to its very foundations. I only have one question. What is your opinion of coffee?
I tried it once, but it made me too jittery.
Welcome, brother.
They do the
Welcome
predator,
to
like.
The rebellion.
But it's a 7 foot tall, look like battle hardened Wookiee. He's like, made me a little too jittery.
I sweat a lot. I've tried it once.
Okay.
It made me too jittery.
I get in high school to look cool.
It was just an excuse to hang out.
All right. So let's just talk. Let's talk the status of things here. So the base is yours. And by the way, you each get 500 credits. You each discovered 500 credits within the
brush. Awesome.
You have four mission objectives that I'll talk to, and then we'll talk about like the overall mission objectives, and then I'll talk about like some of the like status quo things that you might need to address right away. So your objective number one is secure the base and bring it up to operational readiness. So what that means, you're going to need to acquire new assets to support the base and its operations. You're going to need to get staff sympathetic to the rebellion. You need to recruit. And then you're going to need to acquire supplies and materials to keep the base functional.
Yes.
It almost would help to have a quartermaster.
Yeah! No!
Number two.
Yeah, let the Wookiee try to get supplies. Yeah.
So number two, and perhaps most important in a way, is you need to monitor Imperial comms using the base's signal intelligence array, the SIGINT array.
SIGINT. Mm-hmm. I love a good SIGINT.
SIGINT.
Yeah, that's basically what this base does. It has a big, you know, its signal intelligence array that it monitors communications. It's already doing that, and you need to take control of that. Number three, ensure your superiors and the Alliance commander are apprised of all major developments that you encounter on Imperial channels. So you need to find a way to communicate with your superiors. And then number four, strike at any targets of opportunity revealed by the array. So if you hear about something, you need to let you have the authority to take the initiative to go out. But there's a caveat to all of this, which is that you need to never reveal your presence on Onderon to the Imperial forces.
Are we wearing Imperial outfits? Didn't we change? I know we found them. Did we ever put them on?
No, we talked about
there
it.
There was discussion about how it would fit on the Mon Calamari's head.
There was discussion.
And the fact that they're all soaked in blood was like sort of
just
discouraging.
It would like cover and you would just see the flappy like fish mouth like.
it would be
kind of funny. Your eyes on the sides of your head. Like you can't actually see through the thing.
Like a Mon Calamari, a Wookiee, and a robot try to get away with wearing Imperial uniforms.
It just looks like a children's party hat on the Wookiee. Just kind of like jauntily perched.
So the other thing to keep in mind, though, is Moff Dardano currently does not know that you control the base. But that's going to be a hard thing to maintain. Let's say you go inside and... Tuar, your friend the droid, he's been kind of monitoring the prisoners because there's still staff and troopers on the base that you captured. So kind of pressing concerns them in are the prisoners, and you in your mission briefing you had the authority to if you were to encounter any Imperials and take them alive, you were to somehow transport them to a Rebel cruiser that's waiting a short lightspeed jump away. That's a major concern. The other concern is that you somehow need to keep up appearances with Moff Dardano that the base is still under Imperial control, which will be difficult because, as Tuar will tell you, there's an Imperial officer who arrives every 2 weeks with supplies. She flies, her name is Varala Mishar, and she flies a shuttle in every 2 weeks to just drop off supplies to the base, and she will be here in 3 days. Scheduled to be here in 3 days. And then on top of that, there is a daily long-range comms check-in with the Moff's staff to make sure everything's going okay. And then the other pressing concern, not to pile on, but the other pressing concern is this signal intelligence array. Like, it normally has, it's in the jungle. It's like, it's out in the elements. It needs to be maintained. And it normally has a full staff that does that. But you're going to have to figure out a way to keep it up, you know, keep it up and operational.
Okay.
So having dumped that massive amount of information on you, what do you want to do?
Well, let me ask you this. Does the shuttle that she rides in on look like this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
oh. Wow.
My kids are playing with it. It just happened to be here. I didn't plan that.
I didn't plan this either.
Exactly.
It's everywhere. Look at all this shit. We got everything. I like to make sure that there's a Star Wars item within reach.
I know.
At any point in my house.
I have an R2-D2 on my windowsill, but it's too far away to reach. yes, so she will fly in on a Lambda-class shuttle. You also have a Lambda-class shuttle at your disposal. You disabled it, but you could quickly get it back up and operational. You do have that shuttle at your disposal as well. You also, we talk about base resources, and I'm going to give you a broad sketch, but you can, and I sent you the map of the base, by the way, if you want to take a look. There's a full armory. There's, you know, uniforms, you know, weapons, armor. Yes, there it is. There's the launch pad up at the top of the screen there. Mess hall, kitchen. Joe, do you have, is there an applicable quartermastery skill you have? I'm trying to think of what have you to like, if you were like, take a survey of what's at the base.
Yeah, I mean, not like a talent, but let me look at my skills. My talents right now are about acquiring things. So I think that that could factor in when we're trying to get this stuff for the base. But I would say for inventory, it's obviously not a skill, but maybe. It's tough.
We don't have a mechanic anymore either, right?
I believe Grant was the mechanic, yes.
That's correct. So. We don't have a mechanic either. So, yeah, the upkeep is going to be an issue. We'll have to recruit a mechanic.
And me. I could be killed.
Well, what about the Wookiee? I mean, can't we train him up?
Oh, yeah, Rob, what is your, like, just, what is, who's, sorry, what is your character's name?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, oh, I mean, yeah. Eli would be like, they forgot to ask, what is your name?
What is your name so I can write it on the cup?
I am Vongar of Kashyyyk.
Vongar.
I just, in case you're wondering about specifics, I'm a hired gun marauder.
Oh, yes, okay. This is he got to play out of a whole different book.
He did.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yes, you'll need to get a mechanic. Now, if you talk, let's say, hello, welcome back. Did you murder the oppressor? Says Tuar to you all. Did he die a dishonorable death?
Brother, we murdered several oppressors. Your circuits would have been proud.
My processors brim with gratitude.
Why is this Imperial droid still alive?
Tuar tries to run you through with his broken off mop that he holds as a weapon. No, I'm kidding. I am no Imperial. I was enslaved by the oppressors. My friends freed me.
Patience, brother. Your vengeance circuits have been overclocked.
I have you
like one of us. C-3PO like story to the Ewoks, but to the Wookiee with slight sound effects.
Yeah, you catch him up. You catch him up quickly.
Hello.
So Chuar was about he was programmed as a janitor, but also had similar. He was under the effects of a restraining bolt, which these guys removed, and he was able to ally with them and help them.
Now he's joined the Rebel Alliance.
He's joined the Rebel Alliance
from janitor to rebel.
I can assist with upkeep around the base.
Nice.
But he'll kind of like outline to you that he can only do so much. So he can help, but he's going to need like a team of mechanics, or additional droids to keep the base fully functional. Joe,
why don't we start with inventory? And I'm thinking maybe computers.
Okay, great. Like, yeah,
it's like they probably track everything in their system, and he could maybe go in, see if he can find everything in the system and execute that that job. So he'll jump onto a terminal and start working through that. So with that, I roll my computers plus two purple die.
I'm going to say,
or one purple die.
Sliced, I feel like you already sliced done. Into the system, like the control room systems. So I'm going to say this is an easy check. One purple die.
One purple die. Easy check. Three successes. Okay. No nice. Threat.
So you're able to kind of key into the inventory. You get the full readout of the basis weaponry, which I'm not going to go through. But if there's something you want, we'll just talk about it. And a
vibro greatsword.
No vibro greatswords.
That cost all of the money that I got by taking on more.
It sounds like it. I saw the cost of a regular vibro sword, and I was like, "Oh, that's not happening."
Yes. So basically, your supplies are nearly through because you're about to get resupplied. There are emergency supplies that will cover a full month at full staffing, but if it's just you guys, it'll be approximately 3 months. But
we're going to be trying to staff this thing, and in 3 days we're expecting a resupply visit, or is it okay? So a resupply visit in 3 days, and can I, through this check, can I get all the information that at least from historic resupplies? So like to know how much they bring and who brings it, basically, like is that records are in there so that we sound like we're familiar with this?
2R can also help you with this.
Oh, right,
basically,
right.
So it's an Imperial officer named Varala Mashir. Mishar. She's actually interesting. She is actually on Admiral Corlin's staff, but Moff Dardano has bought her off to keep the base supplied. So she brings you basically what can get you through 2 weeks. She brings you like on a shuttle, what she can secret away, and she comes alone. So, however, now, like if you're thinking, if your circuits are turning.
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm not understanding this. This is a rebel?
She's an Imperial. No, she's the base.
What do you
itself.
Mean that she can secret away?
So Moff Dardano, who built Whisper Base, is the region's Moff, but he built this base to spy on his rival, the Imperial Admiral Corlin.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
God, so like Andor, where they're fucking stabbing each other in the back all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah, the ISV.
So okay. Base does not appear on normal Imperial records. It's like,
exactly. Okay. As far as the Imperial Navy is concerned, this base does not exist.
That's correct.
But there's someone on Corlin's staff that Dardano has bought off to supply the base with, you know, every 2 weeks she comes, flies in the shuttle, drops off supplies, and then flies away.
I feel like let's deal with these prisoners here. We could either bring them to the shuttle to get them off world or execute them.
You have a mission directive to transport the prisoners.
There are prisoners.
Unsheathing the great sword.
Unfortunately, yes.
All they know, though, is that if any survived, to put them away.
As rebels, you would have a certain code of ethics about not executing your prisoners.
The great Saw Gerrera
would
disagree.
But I mean, these are
my ethical circuits have short-circuited. They need repair. In the meantime, I will act accordingly.
Can we turn any of them?
You can try. I'll just pull the veil back on this. They're all like these are hand-picked,
like spies, basically.
Yeah, I mean, they're like there's also mechanics, and you know, but these are people that were hand-picked by the Moth to run a secret Imperial base that was
so extremely trusted Imperial, not just your common foot soldier.
So I will step in. So Hamza, your mechanic, will step in and say, I can't remember what voice he did.
I've got a bad feeling about this.
Exactly. I will transport the prisoners. I will take the shuttle and go to and jump into hyperdrive and go to the Lathir. And so.
Excellent. Excellent.
May I recommend a telepathic octopus to attach to their heads, find out what they know before driving them insane?
Yes, utilize one of those.
I will recommend it to our superior officer.
All right, so we get rid of it. We transport off the prisoners.
Yeah, Hamza will take. He'll. You'll have a fine meal in the mess hall, and then he'll. You will all load the prisoners onto the shuttle. And then he'll he'll sneak away. Now he's going to, we'll assume that he gets away because he's going to have to create some, like flying an actual shuttle off world. He's going to have some sort of like story to tell the Empire when they, because there's an Imperial garrison here. Like, it's not like he can just like hop in, hop out. Yeah. We'll assume everything goes to plan.
Why is a goat flying an Imperial Lambda shuttle? Well, question number one.
They can't see. Okay. You've dealt with the prisoners. So now there is the
issue. To me, the most pressing thing, we have to do all of these things while monitoring communications, which is the thing that I want to do the most. Like, the thing I want to do the most is catch a signal and take an attack of opportunity against the Empire. That said, I think the most urgent thing of all is to have this place appearing as an Imperial base in 3 days' time, like at least to whoever meets the supply shuttle. So I don't know if that's just we only need a couple people or if they come in the base, like we have to be ready for that. And we can ask the droid, like, what do they normally do? Do they meet outside the base and just transfer onto hand trucks, for lack of a better term, or do they actually come into the base, the resupply team?
So the thing working to your advantage is that Mishar usually doesn't have a lot of time. So most of the time she just lands the shuttle. Some of the troopers on the base come in and unload the shuttle, and then she flies away. Occasionally, she would stop and have a meeting with Lieutenant Serev, but most of the time she was just kind of on a schedule.
Okay, so that's something I can do, but that's just me. Like, right? Like, none of you guys can do that.
I could fit into a stormtrooper.
Right, so we either need the droid to be able to do it, or we need one or two more humans, basically. We need to recruit to be in stormtrooper outfits to unload the shuttle within 3 days.
I have high deception.
That's right. He's a spy.
You are a spy.
He's not just a spy. He is an infiltrator.
He is perfectly suited for this in every way.
Leave this to me.
You need to put a flappy hand onto Eli's shoulder to lead you because you can't see through the fucking stormtrooper helmet.
I'm fine. I'm light-headed. Think I've wanted one. Why aren't you at your post? I'm a normal stormtrooper. I'm just a normal stormtrooper. I'm just a normal stormtrooper. My eggs, that's just a regular egg sack. Regular human egg sack, like we all have.
All as humans.
We all have as humans.
As humans.
Okay, so what are you thinking, Grex? Like, what is your... How do you want to use your deception to fool this Imperial officer and that everything is still under Imperial control when there's nobody on the base?
Well, we've got 3 days till she comes, but there's also a comm that's going to come in that we have to like say, all right, everything's good with the base. I'll handle that.
Okay. And then can I actually handle that other problem through recruitment? Can I attempt recruitment?
Sure. Where do you want to recruit from?
On world, jungle. Right? Or do I need to, can I go, I guess I can go fucking anywhere. I don't know how it works.
All right. You're at the computer. Give me a computer's check and let's see if you can pull up the dossier on Onderon.
Okay. One or two. I'm sorry. What is the difficulty?
Let's say it's easy.
Okay. Ah! I mean, that is just so many successes. It won't matter, Matthew.
Great. Okay.
So that is two successes and nothing else. Two successes.
Okay. So the Iziz is IZIZ is the planetary capital. It's a sprawling walled metropolis covering approximately 1,600 square kilometers. It's protected by a defense grid to fend off aerial attacks, and the city's center is occupied by a steep hill housing the royal palace, now vacant under Imperial governorship. The southern reach of the city make up the merchant's quarter, where the bulk of the city's commerce is handled. So 2R will also interject here to tell you that he actually was purchased by Lieutenant Serev in the merchant's quarter by a a junk dealer by the name of Cavius Slim, who's actually a vet of the Cold War, of the Clone Wars, and she sells damaged military surplus and salvage from weaponry to machine tools to back to techs. And she does that without asking too many questions. So that might be something to keep in your back pocket. Aziz, the thing about Aziz is you're going to have this, like, this is a world under Imperial control. Like, it is a highly guarded city. You can't just kind of walk in there. If you fly in there, you're going to have good cover, and you're going to need to create, like, if you were to fly your shuttle in, you're going to need to create, again,
how far is it? Could we walk there?
If you were to walk there, you'd have to walk through maybe the most dangerous stretch of the jungle. Imagine. You could take speeder bikes. Like, you could take speeder bikes. You'd probably get there in half a day. But, you know, or you could fly a certain distance and walk. It's eminently reachable with the vehicles you have. It's just a question of cover story and, you know, walking in.
Well, yeah, I think that we... I think we can put it in Grex's hands to come up with the story and the deception, ultimately, where we're coming from. We can come in the shuttle. We have a shuttle. We have
You currently do not have a shuttle.
You said
prisoners are had.
What's his name? Just took it.
Oh, Hamza right. Took off with it. Okay. So,
however, as you keep reading, however, you also come across records of a nearby village called Darastead. It seems that the Imperial forces basically, pressed some of the villagers into service. They actually come by and do some maintenance on the base. They like take care of some of the, they like cut back the foliage and work on the roots, and they do basic menial tasks around the base. But according to this, the village has maybe about 100 residents.
Torch it!
Yes, kill them all.
Suppress the locals.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's obviously our best bet. It's like, let's go there we'd
this
have
is
to
like
careful.
Jagged Alliance now. We're like going on the computer trying to. This is so funny. But yeah, no, I think we should.
And try to like see if we can like keep our ears to the ground there and see if we can meet anybody that's friendly to the rebellion and get a couple people to be like, yo, listen, that. The base has been taken. We have a place where you can stay, and we can trade like supplies for that.
Yeah,
like we can send supplies to the village. What's that?
Then we just leave the base unoccupied.
I don't think we can all go, right? Because we have to monitor communications at all times.
Wookiee is definitely looking slightly crestfallen at all of the talk about supply chains and computers. Yeah. Just like looking around, like.
With his blue war paint.
Yeah. Where are the enemies?
When are we going to see some action?
It's too late.
No,
I would say, let's resolve the call with the check-in call.
Okay.
So you sit down the computer, you know, the conversation too. You know the check-in call comes at the same time every day.
Right.
It's a long range communication, so as to avoid local pick up on local chatter. And at the appointed time, let's say it's like 5 p.m., you get the comm crackles to life. It's like whisper base, report in.
Hello, this is whisper base.
Whisper base, is there something wrong with your comm unit? Your voice sounds a little unusual.
No, everything's fine. How are you?
Fine. Report.
Everyone is sick. That's why my voice seems a little bit off. We all have a case of the flu and the shits.
Flu and the shits.
Please send chicken soup.
Oh, do you need immediate resupply?
No. In fact, we don't need the next one in 3 days. No one is eating at all.
Well, if you wanted action, Rob, Troy just handed it to you.
This is highly irregular.
Who am I speaking to?
Was that a Wookiee roar I just heard in the background?
No, it's my...
No Wookiees here.
It's my friend's ringtone.
It's my friend's ringtone.
You have unregistered cellular phones on the basis.
No, no, it's completely registered.
Hey, let's roll a deception check and see where you're going.
Why?
Why? Why?
Where's the lie?
All right, I got two yellow and a green. How many?
Wow, this is going to be a and this is going to be a difficult check.
Formidable.
Is that three purple?
Yeah. I'm saying hard check. Three purple.
Maybe you should strain.
Oh boy. All right. What is the what is this guy again?
That's really? The proficiency that's die.
That's success.
This one with like the star and the.
That's the triumph, baby.
That's triumph.
Oh, success.
No! It's the one you showed me. This one, Troy.
No.
The triumph.
That one.
Yes, that one.
That's a triumph. Yes,
that's a triumph.
That counts as a success.
Counts as a success.
That counts as so much.
All right, so I had two six. If you include the triumph, that's two successes. But I had three fails, so it would be one fail with two advantage. But one was a triumph, if that matters. That didn't. That got canceled out. So two fail.
So you fail is what you're telling me.
One fail, two advantage. Yes.
Okay.
Can I take what does strain do? Like it allows me to.
You can't. I mean, can you push a roll?
Can you do it on a skill roll?
I can't. Probably not. Right.
I don't think so. Right. And also,
I know you can. You can spend two strain to like get an extra maneuver.
I mean, there might be something to do with the destiny point, but I don't know if that's supposed to happen before the roll or
what. I'll let you retroactively roll. Use a destiny point if you want to upgrade one of your green dice to a yellow.
Okay.
So one of your failure, like one of your, if you want to go for a success as opposed to an advantage.
And I got it. So now I, but that just cancels my one success, cancels out the failure, and so I have no successes,
triumph,
no failures.
You did get the triumph.
I did the triumph with three advantage.
Okay, so here's how I'm going to rule it. So they're like, message received. We'll check in tomorrow. Good hunting, Whisper Base. You're off the call.
Feel better.
Feel better.
Feel better, everyone. You get the feeling they know.
I nailed it.
It's like,
we'll be fine for weeks.
You get the feeling.
The resupply.
They didn't like immediately. They're not. You get the feeling like they think something's up.
Right.
But they have. Someone's coming to check in 3 days. So they. I think they're.
Let them come.
Okay. Well, that was that. So Darrested Village is to the north, about 8 or 10 clicks to the north. You could get there through the jungle. You can take speeder bikes. Who wants? Let's say that you go the next day. Who wants to go?
I want to go.
Two are volunteers to man the base. If you all want to go,
great.
I'll stay back. Oh, okay, great.
Let's all go.
Let's all go.
All right, so you load up in speeder bikes. What's your plan here? Are you going to try to recruit them? Like, try to just arrive as you are and recruit them and reveal what's going on?
So worst case scenario here is that when this shuttle arrives, it's Eli in stormtrooper outfit and Tuar meeting them, right? Like that would be the base level situation if we don't recruit anybody or whatever.
Yeah. And they, I mean, you'd have to come up with some sort of excuse why you weren't met with the troopers to unload the shuttle.
Right. Well, the flu has been established now.
The flu has been established. Yeah. The shits has been, is canon.
Yeah. Why don't we just, I think we should go to the village. Come on, Troy, run this thing. You're the spy. I think we should go there as Imperial. Like, I think that we should be like, you know, coming from the base, basically.
Yes, we should show up with flamethrowers. First, attack them with fear. Then their souls will come next.
Subtle art
will be effective cover.
I think if we get in there as Imperials, then we can kind of do whatever we want.
So here's the thing.
Once we're in a friendly cantina.
Then no one will be suspicious, though. If anything, everyone will be on guard. But then we could speak to anyone we want. It's just, will they trust us?
They're not going to believe that a Wookiee is an Imperial, I don't think.
We put you in handcuffs.
That's right. I do have
a brilliant idea.
It's never been done before.
Guess what? I do have a pair of binders in my gear.
Every Wookiee comes with a pair.
I need a binder.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So, like, I'm happy to throw that out the window if we want to, like, sneak in. We could attempt to sneak into the village. That way, no one ever thinks we're Empire, which is good, you know?
And the goal here is to get some more bodies to come back with us.
Yeah, we want to slip into the village, assuming it's under Imperial Guard of some kind. Like, there's Imperial troopers that watch it.
Yeah,
or
do we know if there's like a garrison there or anything? Or
there's no garrison. It's a small village, very poor. Basically, the Empire was like, in their typical kind of like oppressive fashion, like, these are just like stupid locals, and we can use them as forced labor.
I think we go there and we convince them. We tell them that we're with the. This is the problem. I kept my phone off of silent so I could play the fucking Wookiee sounds, and now the phone's ringing.
Hello.
Yeah. Anyway.
I like that you have God smack as your ringtone too. That's awesome.
Yeah, you know, just pick me up. Basically, we could tell them that we're rebels, right? Like, why don't we try to appeal to their
100%? But we can't tell all of them. That's the problem. We can't go in like, "Hey, everybody, we liberated the fort," because then they'll tell. There's going to be spies there. They'll tell the other. So we just need to get into a place where we feel like we can trust a couple people,
sure.
Recruit a couple, and then slowly we'll turn the whole village over time.
Yep.
But like, and I think that we if Eli's seeing this stuff on the computer, is realizing their shortage of supplies, then why don't we show up with some food and stuff and be we can trade food for some recruitment? You know what I mean? Like, we're not looking for free labor. We're looking for people to work for food, basically. And so we'll trade food to get a couple hands to help us on the base.
Are there medical supplies in the base we could bring them to, just to be like...
So Matthew, my original idea was to charm them, but I don't think that's really necessary. Maybe it's more like negotiation.
Yeah.
Maybe we can negotiate a trade. Like, we'll route some supplies from the base to here, and you send some people that'll work at our base, doing maintenance and loading and unloading inventory.
Okay. So you're just going to show up. You're going to show up as Imperials.
Yes. No.
No, we're going to show up. That. Yeah, we're going to show up like as villagers, basically. There's only 100 of them. So like, they would start to know, but maybe the average stormtrooper that's like passing through or is temporarily there wouldn't know the difference.
Grex, as a master spy and infiltrator, will be wearing a fake mustache.
Yes, of course.
I think you made this joke in the first time around. I think you put your finger here. And I pictured a Mon Calamari with a mustache.
Could you direct me to the nearest dog fighting ring? That is how to blend in with the locals.
Hello, fellow teenagers.
Hello, fellow kids.
Yeah. There's a meme that somebody made of Admiral Akbar with a monocle and the mustache and the top hat. And instead of "it's a trap," it says "it's an elaborate ruse."
It's an elaborate ruse!
Okay. So Grex will be wearing a mustache. The rest of you will just be kind of wearing your civilian fighting. Clothing.
Follow the Heineken signs.
Follow the Heineken signs.
Put in the big inflatable Dos Equis bottle. Ask for Jim.
Ask for Jim.
All right, yeah, let's go. We'll take speeder bikes.
Did you take speeder bikes
with some supplies strapped to the back, some food, rations.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah. Some gifts.
Let me get my flavor text. Okay. So you take your speeder bikes, you're riding through the jungle. Eventually you get there. Darrested itself is no more than a scant collection of buildings surrounded by a fence of wooden stakes and barbed wire. Most of its structures are crude huts made from local materials, but there are a few large concrete prefabs that are used as meeting halls and other public necessities. None of the buildings are in good repair, especially the prefabs, which date back to the village's founding over a century ago. The villagers keep them in order as well as they can with their limited tools and supplies, but even the sturdy Duracrete has begun to crumble and under harsh jungle conditions. So you kind of ride your speeder bikes up speeder bikes up to the gate, the city gate, the village gate, and you're met by two armed guards who are carrying blaster rifles.
Imperial?
No, or villagers.
Local. And they're human?
They're here? Human, yeah.
Okay.
And they're like,
okay.
They're surprised to see you because this is a very uninhabited area, but they kind of like, state your business. I don't, no, they're not French. I'm not going to commit to that.
State your business. Just like Saw Gerrera himself.
What are you doing? Are you going to
state your business.
We.
Dog fighting!
Dog fighting.
Holy dog fighting.
God's sakes, can't get through 1 minute of a goddamn game.
Not 1 minute. Shit without a dog fighting.
The two of them exchange a look and then they like tighten their grip on their blaster rifles.
Man. I mean, at this point with this crew and the Wookiee and everything, I'm sorry, I hate calling you the Wookiee. Von Gar, right?
That's,
Von Gar.
He's used to it.
with Von Gar and everything, Eli is going to hop off of his speeder bike and just say, "We are under the impression that this village is no friend to the Empire." And he's like, looks dirty and sweaty and like definitely does not look Imperial.
The two of them are kind of like really on edge now. They don't really know how to respond. Like they're just like no friend. Like imagine like someone coming up to you and be like, "You're a traitor, right?"
Yeah.
Can I spend a destiny point to retcon something?
Sure.
The base commander, like when we shot him down, like if there's like maybe his charred remains, PRCL8 just severed his head, and it's bringing it with him in a sack. And so when this happens, like he just throws the base commander's head like at their feet.
Okay. That does change things. and they look at each other. You need to see Dale Cawdrew.
Yes, Dale Cawdrew. That's where we need to go. Thank you.
So one of the guards quickly escorts you into the village and to one of the prefab Durakreet structures. It's kind of like a meeting hall. And you're kind of like hustled in there. And then soon enough, an old white haired woman who seems still spry for her age, but, you know, a little frail.
Marva.
Kind of like a Marva. Yeah. In simple clothes and green and brown. And the only indication of her station, is that she has a cloak of slightly finer material. And she has, like, her eyes, and this is straight from the book, they blaze with a keen intellect and fierce spirit to those who are willing to look past the surface.
Nice cloak.
I hear... Oh, thank you. It's a mark of my station as one of the village elders. I hear you are revolutionaries. You made quite the show of it at the gate, I hear.
Well, we just wanted to make sure that you were very clear on... where we stand. We don't want to make anyone feel like we're Imperial spies or something like that. We've taken the base that's whatever, how many, you know, wherever miles away it is. The Imperial base, we've taken it and we need help to make the Imperials think that it is still manned by their own staff. So we're looking for help. We're looking to trade, food for workers. People that can come and appear to be Imperial maintenance workers and communications officers.
She kind of looks you up and down. You say you've taken the base. What happened to all of the troopers and the staff members? What have you done with them? Have you killed them all like you killed the lieutenant here?
I wish.
It's like she's like, 5-0, and she looks up at the 7-foot-tall Wookiee.
Maybe turn your translator off just for a moment. Speak freely, but without your translator.
Well, if the base is currently on, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, he'll say, you know, many of the workers were taken as prisoners and sent off world, sent to be
safely escorted to, and he says the planet where they went to. You know, he's just being completely honest. And then, but some unfortunately were casualties of the attack. We felt it was necessary in order to get a good rebel presence on this planet. We needed a base, and this particular base, I don't know if you know this, it is secret even within the Empire. Not all are aware of it.
She takes a breath and says, well, if the base is unmanned, then perhaps you have supplies you might be willing to share as a gesture of goodwill.
Yes.
Our village is in much need of food and medical supplies.
Yes. And his eyes like light and brighten, like, that's exactly what we thought. There's way more than we need there, and so we've brought it here. We have it on our speeder bikes. If you'd like to unload, take all that you want. We're expecting a resupply in 3 days from the Empire, and we need to appear to be a working and operating Imperial base at that time. So all we ask in trade for this is that you give us a couple loyal members of your faction to act as if they are troopers on that base to accept those supplies. And from there, we'll have a regular flow of supplies from that base to your village.
So you're offering...
We require humans.
Humans we have.
Put simply, yes, yes. Put simply, we require humans.
Vongar walks out with the intent to come back with the stack of supplies, because it'd be more like visually impressive if the Wookiee just comes with all of them at once and just drops them.
Okay. Okay, great. So Vongar goes out and just comes back.
It's like a Costco-sized thing of Cheerios.
I just got my membership.
Maybe a couple villagers like come over to help you and you're just like wave them off.
Are those peanut butter pretzels?
Oh. Yeah, exactly.
What pounds of them?
I like to think that you're the Imperial contact just takes a trip to Costco in her shuttle. Yes. Before she sees you all. Great cheese there. Great organic.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many great. Don't get me started on Costco.
Yeah. Okay, so yes, you offer the gift. She's very pleased by this. She's, your Imperial, well, they're not your friends, but your the former inhabitants of your base now often require the services of us here. But let's just say there was little recompense for their labor. Mm. What do you offer in return for our services as a village?
Health insurance.
She's like, we have
health. And he winks at Eli.
This mustachioed blue vodka.
Health insurance.
My master.
I think
are they have silver plan, bronze, gold?
You get to choose. And our contribution depends on which plan you choose.
The PPO.
Does it come with dental?
Yes.
He looks as...
Yes!
Check him in network.
This really should be the quartermaster's job.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Meaningful glances are shared amongst the other villagers in the back of the room.
I'm just using deception. That's why you winked at Eli.
No health insurance.
No health insurance. Oh. All right. So what do you? We're going to do an opposed negotiation roll.
Okay. Great.
So you're offering, what were you offering? Continued
Eli
supplies?
He has a full understanding of what the base has, what the resupply will do. And he's starting to see a picture of what comes in and what goes out over the next several months. Right. So he's starting to like see that. And he's going to try to, you know, shrewdly negotiate to make sure that the base is fully supplied, but that, you know, we are paying fairly for these people's time, but not overpaying. Just because she's like an elder and he's a young guy, he doesn't want to be taken advantage of by her savvy. But he very well may be. It's going to come down to the opposed role. I don't remember how opposed roles work.
Great. This gives me an opportunity to read about opposed roles.
I know how they work.
Would you like to tell us, Skid?
So basically, I believe it's like you just take the... Well, I don't know what skill would be involved on your part.
Negotiation, though, in this case.
Okay. So, yeah, you roll and Joe rolls, and then you just whoever has the most successes. If you tie, it comes down to advantages versus threat.
Yes.
And if you're still tied, you reroll.
And in building those dice pools, what you do is you take my skill as difficulty and challenge dice. So I'll tell you that Dale Kadru has her role would effectively be one proficiency die and two difficulty dice. So you would take two purple and one red into your dice pool.
Okay.
And I'm going to do the same. What do you? And what's your negotiation skill?
The exact same.
Great.
So you would take two purple and one red. So we're going toe to toe here.
However, and you can have help too. If someone has a higher like ability score or ability or a skill rating, you can swap. You can use either one of those in place of yours.
Yeah, they're not going to in this case. I don't think any of you have a higher presence than me, and I'm sure no one has a rank in negotiation.
That said, because you gave her the offering gift of the food, Joe, you're going to get to add a blue boost die.
Oh, nice.
To your pool, which has, as you'll notice, it's mostly advantage, but you can get success from that.
Oh, this is awesome. We like played right into module wanted you to do here. We said it was going to be a negotiation right out of the gate.
Yeah. So the module also like anticipates you might want to go as Imperials, and they react very differently to that.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah.
All right. So now we both roll and then we compare our successes. And
these negotiations will be short.
Come on. Come on, Eli, you son of a bee. Come on, buddy. Come on. Oh, I see so much bad. This is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
How many fail?
One fail.
Okay.
Okay.
One fail. One threat. And the fumble.
So that's two fails. The fumble is a fail. It counts as a fail.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's two fails. I got no successes on all these die. My boost die, nothing. I think it's the only one with nothing. Oh, there are two nothings. But yeah. God damn it.
Okay. Well, I have some good news and bad news. How many fails did you say you had? Three? Two?
One fail. And I only had one fail. I had no successes, but I only rolled one fail.
Well, she rolled no successes and three fails.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
However, she did roll two advantage, and you rolled two threat.
I netted two threat.
Okay. So,
but does this count as more threat or something, or is it just like a little bit worse? Like, what does this
the
fumble
die?
Mean? Yeah.
The fumble, it's like it can be in combat, it can be like you take a critical injury, or you do like we can interpret it. The despair is what it's called.
Despair.
We can interpret it as needed in combat. In this case, it's not. So here's how I'm going to rule it. You sit down, you negotiate, you hash it out. She's better than you.
Yes.
Like she's like clearly she's been negotiating with the Imperials, and she is no fool. So she agrees to the deal. That's going to be your winning of the challenge. But
she won the deal.
She won the deal.
She wants more food, or like
she's going to extract a steeper cost from you.
I want four Sony Discmans with every shipment.
Yeah. So
okay. All right.
She's going to get she's going to send you the villagers are come. They will help you man the base. They'll help you. She reveals after the negotiation that just because they live in this crumbling village, actually her people are all very technically proficient. They just don't have any money. Like this village doesn't have any money. So they will actually be able to help you keep the signal intelligence array up and running.
Oh, sweet. That's awesome. So is there like a number of people, or is it just sort of like, doesn't matter.
We'll plenty of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have plenty of people.
By the way, I just re-rolled it. Three successes and two advantage. Like I should have done so well on that roll, and I had a horrible roll.
I mean,
it is crazy. Listening back to some of the failed rolls that I had with some of my crazy like dice pools, it feels impossible, and it just kept happening. So funny.
Yeah, that's amazing. Okay, great. So that's awesome. That's awesome. So a little bit of recruitment, and then. He just wants to ask her over the course of it, like, how often do the Imperials come there? How often do they check in from the main city and stuff like that? And do we have to worry about spies within their village talking about this deal?
The village has very little contact with the Z's. We are considered backwoods hillbillies. Basically, the village is like, they're kind of like hippies that like decided to go back to nature 100 years ago. And then these are like the descendants of those hippies. So people have left the village to go to the city, but mostly like now they're in, because of the Empire's presence, they're they're commune. And they were doing fine, but the recent Imperial, the addition of Whisper Base, like, they were like basically conscripting a bunch of like the strongest villagers to come work on the base and not paying them and just threatening to wipe their village out. So they've been suffering. So actually, she's happy to agree to the deal, and she's happy to have work for her people, especially in return for supplies.
Right.
So
but this is the cool thing about Star Wars in general. It's like, but she is not a rebel.
No.
Like, she's just made a deal with the rebels, and she'll make deals with the Imperials. Like, she's just looking out for her people.
She's trying to get by. She's no friend of the Empire. And in fact, I think if you were to push her, like, she would you'd probably realize she has rebel sympathies, but she has no like official.
They're just not going to sit and open up some schematics and figure out a way to blow the base up or anything.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, that said, her people can fight, and you know, if you needed the other thing is like the Moff, based on that call that you had, Moff may eventually, like, I think it's kind of a foregone conclusion he's going to eventually figure out what's happened, mm-hmm. and you may need to defend the base, and you could call, like, you get the, like, you seeing, like, get the feeling you probably could call upon them. You need to renegotiate, but you could probably call upon the villagers to come help you in that battle.
Okay.
Yes. Cool.
Could I we can do this like off air, like between sessions, because I think it might get a little bit crunchy, but could I say that I'm using my know somebody in this situation, like during this negotiation? Like, she might get the best of it, but is there a way for me to get one like item that they have, like a weapon I'm thinking in particular, that is normally it's legal, but is normally like too rare for us to be in this kind of like village, but she has one and we could purchase it. And, you know, we'll work out the particulars after, but it's basically once per session, I can reduce the rarity of a legally purchasable item by one rank. And you know, I kind of want to get a weapon for Skid. Like, it's not really for me, or for Troy. Cause like, I'm not really trained in weaponry, but like, I don't know, something fun that could really help us. And it doesn't have to be a weapon. It could also be, I don't know, a communications tool or a vehicle or something.
Or a mod. There's like, there's like mods for weapons and stuff. Although we don't. Yeah. Like, there's stuff like that. Like, it'd be really helpful.
If you want to pick out a mod, I'd say we can do that. If it's an actual weapon or a vehicle or something, your best bet's going to be that with the contact that 2R told you about, the junk trader.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that. Like, going into that city as Imperials, right? Like, not being a rebel, just a regular Imperial citizen. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be fun.
Yeah, that's going to be your best bet. They're very poor. Like, they have blaster rifles, but like, and, you know, knives and vibro knives and that kind of thing, but nothing really. There would be nothing better than what you have at the base already.
Sure, they don't. She's a savvy negotiator.
That's what they claim.
All right, I'll look into the mods at, like, between sessions, and I'll pick something that's not ridiculous, and we'll talk about it.
Okay, great. All right. Well, you lost the negotiation, but you got a great deal, and that, like, you now have people to staff the base and help prepare and help, you know, keep this thing. And with he and the villagers will be able to work together to kind of keep the signal array going.
Great. So we've got maintenance. We've got the appearance of an Imperial base. Now we just have to monitor the signals and I guess keep growing the base. Like, you know, beyond just these villagers, we need more people that are like, we need some aces, you know?
Yes.
We need some people that can use this as a forward operating air base, basically.
Okay. Great. So you head back to the base?
Yeah.
Good staffing sesh. Not since the taxation of trade routes has Star Wars been this exhibit.
That's right. That's what Star Wars is all about.
Dale Kadru sends her grandson, who actually was he was not one of the guards, but he was one of the villagers that came into the meeting house with you. His name is Feral. She offers his services in escorting you back to the base as a gesture of goodwill. He rides back with you because he wants to, like, he's going to kind of assess your needs and come back with the appropriate crew tomorrow.
Great. Cool.
And you get to know him on the way back. He takes he has a speeder bike of his own. It's like an ancient land speeder. not a speeder bike, but it's a really old land speeder that like does the equivalent of like coughing out exhaust as you drive back.
Runs on diesel.
But he is if she is no friend to the Empire, he is a burgeoning radical himself.
Yes.
He's like, I'm. Did you kill them all? Did you kill them all when you took the base? Are they dead?
Yes.
Does that excite you?
Imp bastards have been bleeding my village dry for a year now. You treating us as if we're supposed to just automatically supposed to help them and just driving our people to the bone. You were all with the Rebel Alliance?
Essentially.
Yes. Yeah.
I have responsibilities to the village, but I would like to. Just don't leave without me.
We won't. Don't worry. Yes.
Yes.
It's yeah. Awesome.
So he's gonna be your primary day to day contact.
All right. His name one more time.
Firil. F-I-R-I-L.
Firil.
He's a mechanic.
Awesome.
By trade.
Oh, perfect.
He'll be able to maintain you, CLA.
Oh, awesome. Yes.
Okay.
So, I look forward to getting to know one another.
Yes. you were oppressed by the Empire too, right?
Cousin, you have no idea.
And he turns to you, Vongar, and he's like, my grandmother, she said you knew Saw Gerrera?
I did. He saved me from a fate worse than death under the imperial thumb of a mining colony. So, of course, I promised him the Wookiee life debt. And unfortunately, was not there to see him destroyed by a tidal wave of dirt on Jeddah.
A terrible way to go.
A most dishonorable way to go.
At that point, you know, he was breathing through some sort of a tube, and his voice was fucking nuts by then.
He lived a long life.
Yeah, he saw some shit. Starting on this planet, he actually led a...
Pushes up tiny glasses.
He actually led a revolution against the separatist colony with his sister who tragically died on those very cliffs.
He like points at like the place where Saw Gerrera's sister died.
It's like Dave Filoni playing with us. This is great.
Believe it was
him. I've read the stories. The Hollow stories. And you, I've never met him on Calamari before, but I was I'm honored to meet you. I'm honored to have you in our village.
I'm sorry, I don't shake hands. It is considered a sin amongst my people.
Oh, he's very respectful. Like, is there some way I might show my respect and offer my friendship instead?
Yes, you may place your hand upon my egg sack.
I see. This is all happening on the speeder bikes, by the way. And him and his like busted.
What?
So you like lean your egg. Lean
I just
your egg
lean sack my up. Egg sack towards.
I just lay my hand upon it. Do I caress it or anything?
No, don't be foolish.
Oh, sorry, sorry. He like gently, like he reaches out, like out. He like reaches out the car window. He's like gently places his hand
it's
upon
just
your egg sack.
Jiggling.
Greg says,
"The pleasure is all mine."
Okay. So you get back to the base.
You fertilized it. Oh no!
Oh no!
Oh no!
It's your genetic material.
beloved Star Wars. Okay, so eventually you get back to the base, and I assume, presumably, one of you is going to monitor the signal intelligence array.
Yeah.
it's, I mean, like, it's, you're getting everything, like,
yeah,
all the chatter. So it's like
it's sorting through, like, what's yeah. really, and they're all going to be talking in code and stuff too, probably.
Well, you, yes, there is that, but then there's also just like the routine, like, pedestrian stuff that they like.
Yeah, but I think Eli is psyched. Like, that's why he wants to monitor this, because the idea of hearing, like, what they're moving, even the mundane, like what they're moving, how much of it, how much they need, you know, like getting in a sense of supply lines and stuff like that, or ships or fuel, like all that stuff. It's like, it's all valuable knowledge for this base. Everything can be utilized to learn, you know, how much they need and how much, if they want to grow, and the way that they communicate with each other is important so that we can appear imperial. Like, it's, yeah. there's no lost time, I feel like.
Studying.
The real challenge is going to be sorting the signal from the noise. It's just yeah. so much. You all get back to the base, but then your code cylinder, your Alliance code cylinder, emits a soft time, and it begins to, the array begins to play a full message. Everyone gathers in the briefing room.
We're losing the signal.
Operative team.
There we go.
This is Alliance Command. This is a protocol crash transmission to ensure operational security. Do not attempt to respond. Your previous transmissions have been too data heavy and risk compromising the frequency. We are sending additional support to assist in managing future communications. Expect arrival within 24 standard hours. The agent will provide the code word Dalgo to confirm identity. However, as you realize the signal actually came in, not right now. It came in 36 hours ago.
Oh.
And I guess we'll see you next week.
Oh, no. We're late. We're late. Oh, so wait. Where it's a signal to where?
To, it was sent to you. You just didn't receive it because you were out.
So the village, any minute they're coming to, with a code.
They should have been here 12 hours ago.
Oh. Okay. Oh shit.
Something must have happened.
Something okay. must have happened. Okay. Matthew, do you think we'll find out next week?
I think we might.
Well, thanks, Naish, for watching. Appreciate all you guys hanging out. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Eric. May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you. Later.